Welcome to Now. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
The eyes of the world are on Brazil starting this week when the World Cup football tournament kicks off.
I think Germany is just ready to win a World Cup. As far away from home as this World Cup is, I think that Germany is ready to take advantage of it.
How will the U.S. team fare in the tournament?
And what are some of the health risks for those who are visiting Brazil?
A new exhibit looks at the ancient city of Pompeii.
We'll ride the capital Ferris wheel.
And we'll hear about country star Miranda Lambert's new CD, Platinum.
That's all coming up on this Monday edition of Now. In just a few days, the World Cup football tournament kicks off in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
The tournament features 32 teams, including host Brazil, competing over the next month, all in hope of winning the cup.
Brazil was elected as the host nation in 2007 after the International Football Federation, FIFA, said the tournament would be in South America.
This year is the second time Brazil has hosted the tournament. The last time was in 1950.
But a new survey says that nearly two-thirds of Brazilians think hosting the tournament is a bad thing.
Julia Michaels is a longtime resident of Rio de Janeiro, which hosts the tournament final July 13.
She says that recent economic prosperity has actually led to some bad feeling because money is being spent on sports facilities and not on things like roads, hospitals, or schools.
People are saying, change is possible. Well, guess what? We want better schools and we want better hospitals. And we're thinking about all of this in the context of these sporting events. And, you know, you're spending all this money and all this other stuff. How about better transportation, etc.?
The Brazilian Ministry of Tourism says that the World Cup will add about $3 billion to the country's economy.
But only 34% of the respondents to the Pew Research Center survey said that hosting the World Cup is a good idea.
Teresa Williamson is a city planner and longtime Rio resident. She says that tight security, including the Brazilian military, will prevent any violence.
You know, children will be off school, a lot of people will be off work, and there'll be this repression and rules being imposed. A lot of people will probably leave if they can, the city, like they do at Carnival. Some people do. There'll be this flux, and it'll be interesting, but I think it will be pulled off. I'm not worried about that.
Julia Michaels says that authorities want to make sure there is not a repeat of violent protests that hit last year's Confederations Cup.
You know, they have a real problem. There were protests during the Confederations Cup last year, which was right around the same time as the street protests began. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be protests coming up. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if they do bring the army in. I heard the word containment a lot. I think they're going to use, you know, modern techniques to contain the protests.
Teresa Williamson says that how Brazil hosts a tournament and how it treats its citizens could have long-term effects on the country.
We have a gubernatorial and presidential election later in the year. And so how the authorities clamp down on the protests that will happen is going to be really significant and important in terms of, I think, ultimately determining what happens in those elections.
Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff said at a recent press dinner that any concerns Brazilians have will evaporate once the competition starts.
Rousseff will be running for a second term in October's presidential election.
So do you plan to watch the World Cup? Which team is your favorite?
Let us know by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. Our address there is at Now VOA Show. Jenny, one night, watch the world, unite two sides, one fight and a million eyes. Four hearts gonna work so hard, shoot all the stars, just sprays up towards the sky. Tonight, watch the world, unite, world, unite, world, unite, for the fight, fight, fight. One night, watch the world, unite two sides, one fight and a million eyes. Hey, 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 the U.S. men's soccer team has appeared in the past 6 World Cups, but its best finish is in the semifinals way back in 1930.
This year, the U.S. men are in the so-called group of death, with number 2 Germany, number 3 Portugal, and 38-ranked Ghana.
As Bernard Schussman tells us, U.S. coach Jurgen Klinsmann is confident, even with that tough draw.
This is Red Bull Stadium in Harrison, New Jersey, just outside New York City. It is one of the training sites for the American team before the World Cup. On this day, the team worked out ahead of its eventual 2-1 win over Turkey on Sunday. The media was allowed to view this workout of easy exercises and mild training. The more intense workout took place without reporters or cameras. A few hours later, the scene switched to a hotel room in New York City where head coach Jurgen Klinsmann and team captain Clint Dempsey were center stage. Klinsmann, a former star German player and coach, was named head U.S. coach in 2011 and guided the Americans to their seventh straight World Cup berth. He has great confidence despite being drawn into the so-called World Cup group of death that includes second-ranked Germany, third-ranked Portugal, and 38th-rated Ghana.
A very difficult draw. It's a tough group, but we are expected, and we expect from ourselves, to do well. Now, we expect to go into the knockout stage, so we got to figure out a way to do that. That's what we're working on. We believe that we can absolutely go into the next round. Will it be tough games, tight games? Absolutely, that's what a World Cup is about.
Clint Dempsey is a star forward and commands the respect of his teammates. He calls being named captain of the U.S. team a huge honor.
Anytime you can go into a World Cup and be the captain for your country is something very special and you'll never forget. But, during this World Cup qualifying process, once Jurgen named me captain, just try to do the best that I can to lead in the way that I know how to.
Dempsey's American teammates also met the media and were asked about their chances. They were optimistic and looking forward to the challenge in Brazil. Coach Klinsmann took a realistic approach to what lies ahead.
Germany is expected to win the World Cup. I don't think that we expect now us to win the World Cup, but definitely we want to go far. We want to do well.
The U.S. soccer team opened its campaign in Natal, Brazil on June 16th against Ghana, the team that knocked the Americans out of the previous two World Cups. Bernard Chessman, VOA News, New York.
Meanwhile, veteran New York Times sports writer George Vesey has written a new book, 8 World Cups, that chronicles his coverage of every tournament since 1982.
Vesey spoke with VOA's Park Brewer about the book and about what the World Cup means.
First of all, let me ask you, which World Cup was your favorite as a reporter? And if different, which was your favorite as a fan of the game?
Well, I want to sound like a parent here, which I am, and say, I never have any favorites because everyone is different, everyone is special, blah, blah, blah. Now, I could look at it this way and say that the first one is always going to be special because it is first, and that was the one where Italy won, and I started off in Barcelona with that great group of Brazil, Argentina, and Italy. And then if you'd say, well, which one was your favorite as an individual, the World Cups have been held in so many great places that the fun of living in these cities, I mean, 4 or 5 of them, my wife was with me. We rented apartments, if we were lucky enough, in Paris and Rome. So it's very hard. I know the one that I feel like I missed the most that I just didn't see was the one in the United States because the country is so big and I had to fly around. Also, I was living at home, so I didn't quite get, when I was around New York, so I didn't quite get the feel of it that I did for the others.
All right, so if you can't nail that down exactly, who was your favorite World Cup personality to cover? First, your favorite player, then your favorite coach.
Well, if I say favorite, the guy I write about the most in the book is probably Maradona because I was witness in 82, about 10 rows up from the field, watching him get beaten up by Claudio Non Molto Gentile, not very gentle at all, and just pounding him, kicking Maradona. And then I wound up covering him in 86 with Before the Hand of God and being around him. And then in 90, I was trying to interview him, and I tell the story in the book about how I tried to make a phone call from the States to his house. Somebody gave me his number. And what happened when I made the phone call, I started first in my bad Italian, and then I switched to my bad Spanish, and this guy kept goofing with me on the phone. And then the punchline is who that actually was, and that's in the book.
Well, George, if you had to pick one team that is likely to win this World Cup in Brazil, who would it be and why?
I've worked it out in my mind that the one nation that is on the brink of becoming a World Cup champion for the last two and now is at its peak with great players and probably and certainly strong-minded enough to go in there and blind out all the distractions is Germany. I think Germany is just ready to win a World Cup. As far away from home as this World Cup is, I think that Germany is ready to take advantage of it.
So do you agree with George Vesey? Which team do you think will win the coveted prize?
Let us know your thoughts by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can send us an email by addressing it to voaasia@voanews.com.
And follow us on Twitter. Our address there is @NowVOAShow. For those lucky enough to have tickets and travel to Brazil, staying healthy is very important.
Because Brazil is a tropical climate and one of the stadiums is in Manaus in the Amazon region, several mosquito-borne diseases could cause problems.
As our Times tells us, travelers need to make sure they protect themselves even when enjoying the football tournament.
Experts at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say travelers visiting Brazil may be exposed to a variety of health and safety risks. Dr. Joanna Gaines in the CDC's Geographic Medicine branch says there always are risks to health and safety while traveling, but she cautions that for those going to Brazil for the World Cup or the 2016 Olympics,
travelers who are attending special events like these may be at an increased risk.
In an online article published in the medical journal JAMA Internal Medicine, Gaines and her colleagues recommended vaccinations or preventive medicine for infectious diseases, including yellow fever and malaria. In other cases, travelers should be aware of steps they can take to avoid getting infected, for example, with dengue fever.
There's no medication or a vaccine to prevent it, so we really recommend that travelers are regularly using insect repellent, wearing long-sleeve clothing, wearing clothing that's been treated with insect repellent, and doing those types of active things that they can do to protect their health.
Travelers are urged to check with their doctor before going, says the article, and doctors should alert their patients to hazards ranging from bed bugs and sexually transmitted diseases to crime and traffic accidents.
Most of the roads in Brazil are actually not paved, and we do recommend that travelers be particularly vigilant. So really being careful when they are driving, making sure that you're trying to find a vehicle that does have the safety features that you want. So, I mean, at a minimum, seatbelts for sure.
In their article, Dr. Gaines and her colleagues say travelers should see their healthcare practitioner at least a month before leaving and seek immediate attention if they develop a fever during or after their trip to Brazil. This is Art Chimes reporting.
Maybe soccer isn't your thing. If you're interested in history, a new exhibit in Los Angeles might be the place you want to go.
The exhibit at the California Science Center gives visitors a chance to understand why Mount Vesuvius erupted when it did, burying the ancient Roman city of Pompeii in ash and stone.
VOA's Mike O'Sullivan visited the exhibit and takes us on a tour.
Mount Vesuvius unleashed fiery gases and scorching ash on August 24th in 79 AD. Visitors to the California Science Center see a computer-generated film reconstructing the tragedy. The disaster has been shown on screen many times in an Italian feature from 1913, seen here on YouTube, and other Hollywood treatments, including scenes of this year's epic film Pompeii. Archaeologist Kenneth Lopatin says hot ash preserved the outlines of the victims and kept intact many everyday items that surrounded them.
When we go to Rome, we have the glorious shells of great imperial buildings. What Pompeii gives us is something we don't get in the literary sources, which is the everyday, the domestic, the simple.
Including the coins and artwork, household gods, work tools, and cooking utensils. Pompeii was a small commercial city away from the ancient Roman centers of power, and its neighboring community, Herculaneum, was a Mediterranean resort. Both were buried in the eruption. Diane Perloff of the California Science Center says they still hold a fascination.
This was a city that was a resort, it was luxurious, it was high living, and then it was just, you know, wiped off the face of the earth all at once. There's something very sort of mythical about that story.
The film Pompeii, released in February, brought that drama to the screen with a mix of fact and fiction, says Kenneth Lopati.
The latest Pompeii film, I think, did a really good job of capturing urban topography. They did flights over the site, and they computer reconstructed the city. The volcano, I think they did a good job of. They didn't have a lot of lava. They had volcanic gases and clouds and mudslides, because if you had a lot of lava, we wouldn't have anything preserved. It would have been burnt and destroyed.
That science is explained here, along with a fascinating glimpse into the everyday lives of these ancient Romans, their medical tools, artworks, and the weapons and armor used by gladiators. 150 items are on loan from the Naples National Archaeological Museum. California Science Center President Jeff Rudolph.
The forces of nature are incredibly strong, and we've learned to live with them, but they can have catastrophic consequences.
Pompeii was rediscovered in the 18th century, buried beneath the ash, with haunting images that stare out from its artwork. Those faces from the past speak to modern viewers, says Kenneth Lopatin.
But I think it also is a mirror of the present, where we see ourselves in the past. And that's why for 250 years, Pompeii, since its rediscovery, has been incredibly popular, and exhibitions like this one are so exciting.
And why the drama of Pompeii still intrigues us. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
To see video of this story, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And you can post your comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Our address there is @NowVOAsia. Manny, do you like to go to amusement parks?
Yes. When I was in high school, I used to love it, but I can't do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't have the stomach for it.
Oh, really?
And I get dizzy very easily.
Well, you know, there's a new Ferris wheel here in Washington, and in case you didn't know, the Ferris wheel is actually named for the dude that invented it, George Washington Ferris, who made the first one back in the 1890s.
The very first Ferris wheel was erected for the Chicago World's Fair in 1893.
You might have seen giant observation wheels in places like Paris or London, but now there's a new one here in Washington known as the Capitol Wheel, and it's lighting up the shores of the Potomac River.
VOA's Debbie Block takes us for a ride.
Capitol Ferris Wheel soars 55 meters above the Potomac River with panoramic views of the Washington, D.C. area. Local resident LaShonda Johnson says she got a new look at a region she knows well.
So the Capitol and all the historical museums and traffic, it was just peaceful.
The Ferris wheel is located just outside Washington in Oxon Hill, Maryland, at the National Harbor, a development with shops, restaurants, and hotels. The 42 gondolas hold 336 people and have heating and air conditioning. The idea is for people to relax and enjoy the ride, says Kent Digby, operations director for the National Harbor.
So it's very smooth, so you really, if you weren't paying too much attention, you wouldn't really notice that you're moving. And that's all part of trying to make people comfortable and make sure that they understand that they're very safe.
The cost is $15 per person for a 15-minute ride. Mark Poliquin, who came from Connecticut with his family, says it was worth it.
Top of the line, air-conditioned cabs, they got music playing.
The $15 million attraction was built in the United States, but some pieces are from Germany, and the gondolas came from Switzerland. It's reminiscent of Ferris wheels like the London Eye, which was the world's tallest Ferris wheel until 2006. Today, at 167 meters high, the recently opened High Roller in Las Vegas has that distinction. Just behind are the Singapore Flyer and the Star of Nanchang in China. Chinese tourist Kumi Young loved the scenery from the Capitol Wheel.
It has a beautiful view.
Bulgarian Yavor Todorov says his children wanted to go on a ride, but he admits he had a good time as well.
It's exciting. You can see the whole Washington, D.C.
Each gondola seats 8 people, except for one special VIP car, which holds 4. There, for $50 per person, you can bring a bottle of wine.
I call it our little Ferrari. It's all red and black leather, and it's pretty slick with wine coolers and its own pop-up TV. And I'm sure more than one person will get engaged on a ride.
Another treat, Digby says, is the light show on the Ferris wheel, which can be programmed into thousands of different sequences.
Over 1,600,000 lights, and they can light up in any different color of the rainbow.
The Capitol Wheel is open every day and is expected to draw up to 800,000 people the first year. Deborah Block, VOA News, Oxon Hill, Maryland.
So, are you going to try this thing?
No, of course not. Are you
really
going to?
Well, I might. It might be a nice kind of July 4th weekend kind of thing to do with my wife. This thing has got air-conditioned pods that are about as big as the studio we're in right now.
Oh, so it's not a traditional wheel?
No. It's not.
Oh.
It's not one of the ones that has, like, the swing, the back.
Right.
No. This is like a ski lift. You ever been on a ski
lift?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
well, put a bunch of those ski lift pods on a great big wheel, and that's what this is like.
I had the stomach for it then. Now it's like, no way. Back to business.
Well, to see the Capitol Wheel, you can log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And post your comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Or you can send us an email by addressing it to voaasia@voanews.com. Hey, whatever happened to Country singer Miranda Lambert's song Automatic continues to climb the Billboard country charts. Currently, it's number 4.
The song from Lambert's fifth album, Platinum, takes a nostalgic look at times before life became hectic.
Platinum went on sale last week and features 16 songs. That's a little unusual for a CD, but Miranda says she didn't think any of the tunes could be left out.
I loved 16 songs, and I wrote 8 of them on the record that I felt like needed to be there. And so, you know, it's not like I was like, no, I will have 16. It's just now when you listen to it as a whole, it's like, what do you take off? Because everything, it makes a picture.
One of the tunes on the CD, Priscilla, has Lambert talking to Priscilla Presley, the wife of the late Elvis Presley, about living as a celebrity.
Lambert says that while she and her husband, country star Blake Shelton, are not as famous as Elvis and Priscilla in their time, they do have to deal with many of the same issues, including tabloid press reports.
And anybody that's successful, it doesn't have to be an artist. It can be someone that's a huge CEO. I mean, it's just life starts to take attention away from your main focus being your partner sometimes, but it's a fun way to say it.
Lambert and Shelton have been the subject of several tabloid reports that said that they were getting divorced, she was pregnant, or he was unfaithful.
Miranda says that she and Blake have learned to deal with the bogus reports, and she has learned to laugh at some of what she reads.
And I mean, everyone knows we've been in the tabloids for ridiculous stories that aren't true, and Priscilla makes it fun and just kind of lightens the mood a little bit about it, and it's something we have to deal with. It's part of the job, and I guess people say you've made it when people are talking about you, good or bad, so here we are, you know.
Miranda says having to deal with the false reports has actually made her marriage to Blake Shelton stronger.
Once you get past the first few calls of, is this really true, and your closest friends are hearing things, and you're walking out of a restaurant, probably had a few too many and don't need to be seen like that, and there's pictures and there's cameras and there's everything. Once you kind of learn how to deal with it, then you can laugh about it. And so that's kind of where we are now.
Stand on the box, stomp your feet, start clapping, got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Platinum also features Miranda's duet with another country superstar, Carrie Underwood, on the cut Something Bad.
The pair debuted the song on the Billboard Music Awards last month in Las Vegas.
The tune scored the highest debut on Billboard's Hot Country Songs chart, entering at number 5.
Miranda Lambert's Platinum also features guest appearances from Little Big Town and the Western swing group, The Time Jumpers.
From Platinum, here's Miranda and The Time Jumpers with All That's Left. Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Now.
If you want to hear our program again, you can log on to our website, voanews.com/now.
We're also on iTunes.
And if you want to comment on our show or have any questions, you can visit our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And we're also on Twitter. Our address there is @NowVOAShow.
And if you want to email us, our address is voaasia@voanews.com.
Patrice Martin produces our program.
The managing editor of VOA English is Diane Gao.
Until tomorrow, I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
Join us again for another edition of Now.